hear me?
This, our forefathers came to certain conclusions and decided upon certain courses of action which have been a great blessing to the world. It's talking about the founders of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. It says they were a people who came under the influence of a great spiritual development and acquired a great moral power. No other theory is adequate to explain or comprehend the Declaration of Independence. It is the product of the spiritual insight of the people. We live in an age of science and abounding accumulation of material things. These did not create our declaration. Our declaration created them. The things of the Spirit come first. Sounds like a good sermon, don't it? This wasn't Billy Graham. Now hang on, I'm going to let you know who it was right here. Unless we cling to that, all our material prosperity, overwhelming though it may appear, will turn to a barren scepter in our grasp. If we are to maintain the great heritage which has been bequeathed us, we must be like-minded as the fathers who created it. We must not sink into a pagan materialism. We must cultivate the reverence which they had for the things that are holy. We must follow the spiritual and moral leadership which they showed. We must keep replenished that they may glow with a more compelling flame, the altar fires before which they worshiped. That was the President of the United States in 1926, Calvin Coolidge. Y'all remember him? Oh, okay. All right, let me read you this one here. It's a little shorter. And it was made, this speech was made on foreign soil. And this is part of it. And it says, one of the great strengths of the United States is, although we have a large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bound by ideas and values. I won't have to tell you who that president was, but we've came a long way, ain't we? No longer a Christian nation? I'll tell you what. When we cease to be a Christian nation, we're going down, aren't we? Somebody say amen? And we're on the way now. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that makes our job so much more important, don't it? Amen? Did you feel the spirit of that speech in 1926? It seemed like them old timers still remembered what it took to have victory, didn't they? Huh? Praise the Lord. Hope you'll pray for me tonight. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And I won't say, I hope you'll help me. Yes, sir. Beg your pardon? Pray for me, church. I don't know. Does anybody know? Do you know Brother Harold? Yeah, it'd be close, wouldn't it? How about I? Huh? Woodrow Wilson. That's what this fellow said. I'll go with that. Woodrow Wilson. I can't hardly remember. I was just small, Brother Harold. Last time I talked to Brother Vince Wilson, I picked him up here at the church, y'all's homecoming, but before I was here. And I don't know what year Brother Wilson was born, but he could remember a lot of presidents. And he had something positive to say about all of them but one. And I'm not going into that now. But he chuckled on the one. But now he had something positive to say about all of them. Could remember a whole lot of them. But I, the Bible said when the wicked rule, people mourn. And that's just the way it is. And I don't know if we'll ever have go back to the way it was in the founding days when our leaders actually, really prayed and sought the Lord and lived a good life. But I'll tell you, the Lord told us we was going to be here, didn't he? Now, I want to preach to you tonight. I really hesitate. I'll just be honest with you because I feel like it's what the Lord wants me to preach. I'll try to be brief as I can, but get this point across. Very sobering message here tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want y'all to listen now. There's a lot of telling signs in these verses. And I hope nobody needs it. I know we all need it. But David is one of the most blessed characters in the Bible. But he has one very serious glitch in his character. And I hate to bring it out, but that's where I'm going to read from tonight. And I want to show you a few of the things that might warn us in this hour. Because it's really not how we begin this journey, it's how we end this journey that matters the most. And so I want you to listen. And I'll try. I'm going to try. I know we're living in a very raw, very evil world. And I'm not going to dwell on the specifics of this great crime that David committed. But I do want to bring your attention to a few points in here I felt like the Lord dealt with me about and warn us a little bit here tonight. It came to pass after the year was expired and the time when kings go forth to battle. You see that? How many's with me? It was the time when kings go forth to battle. Now notice I'm getting ready to show you something right here. And it's I feel like the Lord put this in here just like this. It was a time when kings go forth to battle. And the Bible said David sent Joab. Did you get that? How many notices that right off the bat? It was the times when kings go forth, but Job sent Joab. David sent Joab. Listen to this. You know how this story ends. I want to read you a few things about it. The Bible said, and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot of warning to us in this scripture. How many knows how this turns out? Are you with me? Now, I can't help you if the Lord don't help me to help you. Amen. I want you to pray for me. God will help me. The Bible said David tarried at Jerusalem. Now, look at verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Hear me, watch this now. David, I want to say, you know what I want to do? I want to scream right here. I want to say, David, don't do it. I can't tell David that, but I can tell you. Don't do it. He called for her, and she came, and you know, she was not innocent either. Hear me? Oh, I know he was the king, probably a fine-looking man, that he was probably 50 years old at this time. She was young. Are you listening? This is a tragedy. Do you hear me? This is a tragedy in so many ways. I hate to even read you the rest of this. Because it's a tragedy. She lies with him and the child is conceived. And she sends him word later on and says, I'm with child. So David connives, sends to the battlefield to get her husband. You see how nasty this is getting as time goes on? Are y'all listening? I know you see why I hesitate to preach this, but there's some things in here I want to point out to us that prevent this tragedy. He sends for Uriah, and I want you to look at this right here. This to me, it is, I read this today again, and it just hurts me to look at this, Brother Bailey. Uriah came off the battlefield. David inquired, and you know, he says, now go home. He was wanting him to go home and be with his wife, amen, to be a smokescreen for this baby that's coming along. But Uriah had such loyalty to God's army and those men on the battlefield, amen, that he had the loyalty that David had lost. He wouldn't even go home. David even stooped so low as to get the man drunk to try to send him home. And he laid down at the gate of the house, and he would not go in his house. And David said, this won't work. He sent a note to Joab, and Joab was a low scoundrel himself, a son of Belial. He had done some horrible deeds himself. And when he got the note from David, and David said, put Uriah at the front of the battle, and when the battle gets hot, pull back from him and let him be destroyed. Amen. And old Joab just smiled, stuck that note in his pocket, and did exactly, never asked no questions. I'm telling you, this tragedy, there's no end to it. Amen. Oh, would somebody say that? You know where it began? How many saw in the scripture as I slowly read my text where this began? In the season that kings go forth to battle. Amen. David stayed home on the couch. Oh, come on now. Amen. Church, I'm concerned tonight. Amen. Of our indifference toward the battle of the Lord. Amen. I want to ask you, where does this night find you? No, I want to preach today. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to be able to do this, I don't think. Lord, don't help me. I want to preach to us. Amen. Hey. Father, I need your help. Lift your hands, ask the Lord to help me preach this message to you. This is out of character for David. He's a warrior. Bible said he's a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean, and I've often thought, and I've heard people preach that meant that God made David just like he wanted him. But that's not what that means. He was a man that wanted to please God. He was in pursuit of God's heart. Whatever God wanted him to do, that's what David. But something, listen to me, children, something got a hold of David here. That man that always wanted to worship God and always wanted to please God and killed Goliath, led the armies of God. Nobody could stand before him. All of a sudden, when the army rides out, David doesn't ride out with them. He sends somebody else. You know what I'm afraid of in this hour that you and I live? You know why there is tragedy that seems like won't slow down? Somewhere, amen, somebody decided, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to read today. I'm not going to go to church today. I'm just going to stay home. I deserve it. Are you going to help me preach? Oh, God, help me. And I want you to notice, God, help me right here. I want you to notice the Bible said in the season, in the time when kings go forth to battle, Are you kings here tonight? Listen to me. Are you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, kings and priests with God? We're called to a higher call. We cannot afford to lay down. Here in the evening, amen, I want you to notice what happened. He laid down. I don't know what it meant, but evening tide, does it say, amen, in the margin, anybody, amen, but he'd already gone to bed. Amen, are you listening? He hasn't done anything today, but so he's not really weary. And so he tosses and turns. Amen, he's got time on his hands and trouble in his heart. I wish somebody would say amen. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's a danger in too much time. Amen. On an idle heart. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And so he went up on the housetop of the king's house. Amen. He got the view. Oh, come on now. I want to tell you, when you live in this life, amen, you're going to see a lot of things that you cannot have. Amen. And you've got to resist it, and you've got to turn from it, and avoid the very appearance of evil. Amen. This could have just been a coincidence for David, but he wouldn't stop. That's why, come on now. That's why the Bible tells us to pray. Jesus, the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, pray. Amen. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me ask you something. Hear me, church. David had several wives. He was 50 years old. He inquired of her in the beginning. And you know, when the Bible said she was washing herself, amen, I just have my doubts that she was out there bathing naked. I don't know, she may have been. And a lot of people preach that. Amen. But there was enough, amen, for him to see that he thought she was beautiful to look at. And he was tempted by her. And I don't want to go too far along. But I want to tell you right now, our society has made sure that Bathsheba, amen, is a prance to cross every man in America's living room. Are you listening to me? Or at their work, he makes sure that Bathsheba is seen. Are you helping me preach? But brother, we don't have, amen, to go on. Hallelujah. You ain't helping me preach. David, we've got a restless society. People are inventing new ways to do evil every day. Oh, I wish I could preach. Am I doing any good yet? Now, let me stop right here. Let me insert something right here. We really don't have that much time on our hands if we'd really do what we're supposed to do. Am I right or not? David, you really don't have this much free time. This is not free time. This is stolen time. Are you going to help me preach? Are you going to take time off from your devotions? What's going to happen to us, Brother Bailey, if we take time off from our devotions? Amen. Too bad. That's right. Come on now and help me preach. And your fall may not be, amen, a woman that you're going to lust after and follow. It may not be adultery. It may not, but it might be something else. And I'll guarantee you this, amen, when you're not engaged in the vocation that God has called you to do, you get restless, amen, you can't sleep, amen, because there's been no activity, amen, therefore your sleep is upset, and you find yourself rolling the bed and looking for something to get involved in, amen. Was there something for David to be involved in? Yes. He could have went down to his servant and said, saddle my black horse and get my sword. Amen. I need to be on the battlefield. But you know what he did? He took him a leisurely stroll on the rooftop. Amen. And saw something he shouldn't have saw. I want to preach to somebody tonight. If we don't get back to our duty, amen, it's going to be our downfall. This is a horrible trail, Brother Robert. When you follow this trail, are you hearing me? When you follow this trail, old Uriah comes home, and the loyal soldier, and you know when you read the catalog of David's mighty men, guess who's in there? Uriah the Hittite. Do you remember Ahithophel? The bitterness, you know why he was so bitter toward David? It was his granddaughter that he shamed. That's the way sin is. Oh, yeah, I remember reading Pilgrim's Progress. And Pilgrim had that roll and his passport into heaven. And he had it in his coat. And he got so tired that he laid down on the side of the hill and went to sleep. Amen. When he got up and he went on his way and he got close to the city, he realized that his roll was gone, his passport into heaven. And he said, where have I lost that? And then it realized I probably lost that on the hill when I was sleeping. And all the way back, Sister Lois, he said, that cursed sleep, that cursed sleep, that cursed sleep. I want to tell you about if you're not careful. Hear me now. And you have too much time on your hands. Amen. Come on. Because you won't engage in your responsibilities. Are you going to help me preach? I feel like preaching a little holiness right here. Amen. I want to tell you. Amen. God's got a plan for you. Amen. Teenagers. Amen. And I'm glad you're home where I could preach on you a little bit. Amen. But you know, they're always talking about being bored. But brother, listen. Amen. You haven't said that in a while, have you? No. There comes a time in your life when you quit saying that. Amen. But listen. Amen. There's always something constructive to do. Amen. There's something to do to enhance your character. Are you listening to me? Amen. You say you're bored and your Bible's laying dusty on the shelf. You've never called your grandparents. Amen. Are you listening? And ask them if they needed anything. You've not went in the kitchen and said, Mama, show me how to make that apple pie. Oh, come on. Amen. You know why you've got too much time on your hands? Amen. Because you're not doing what you ought to do. Now, brother, listen. In a normal setting, a man 50 years old, the king, it's not unusual for this man to retire early, you know, unless you're King David and your army's in the battlefield and you have the responsibility. Huh? Hear me now. We've all been down this road. I remember years and years ago, a preacher called me, and then his wife had left him many years ago. This ended well. They got back together. They're youth leaders in a church now. But I remember that call, Brother Ray, when he called me on the phone. I called him to try to comfort him. He said, Brother Randy, this has caught me a long way from home. You understand what he's saying? He wasn't expecting it. He had got lax. He ended up backsliding too. And it got to be horrible till it got better. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you, we have forgot, amen, what our call and our anointing, amen, requires of us to keep it. Are you listening to me tonight? I wish I was a preacher here. You need this preacher. Listen to this tragedy. Listen what happened. That one evening of leisure and satisfying the flesh. Huh? Satisfying the flesh. Then what it turned into? It turned into deceit, a conspiracy, murder, cover up. It turned into a little child dying. Are you listening? It turned into fourfold deaths. Fourfold deaths. It turned into a man, amen, whose own son molested his own daughter. Do you hear me? It turned into his own son with hair down like a woman that pulled it once a year. A beautiful young man tried to take the kingdom away from David. It had David walking out of the city and they threw rocks at him and cursed him as Absalom took his kingdom away. What started that? It started on a rooftop one lazy evening when a man should have been fighting and he was relaxing. Right? I hadn't been saved a year. Preacher came, Tommy Carpenter, Brother Tommy Carpenter came and preached youth camp at Richlands. And he preached on visions of a dying soldier. You ever hear that message? And David said, he preached about David, visions of a dying soldier, Uriah. David said, my sin is ever before me. He walked by the grave of those four. He walked by Absalom's pile of stones where Absalom lay. And he said, Absalom, my son, my son, my son. Are you listening to me? David got right with God. Psalm 51 is the most precious psalm there is. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Amen. But you know, him getting converted didn't take that fourfold punishment away. Are you listening? Listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm almost done. I felt like God wanted me to preach this tonight. I know I rather would have preached you something, but I'm trying to warn you tonight. Huh? David sent Joab to work, and he went on, laid down. Not good. Ain't nobody can do your praying for you. Nobody can do your living for you. You're here on idle. You got it on automatic pilot. You're just sailing along. You always lived a decent life. Everybody has respect for you. But how about it? On them evening hours when there's nothing to do and you're so curious and so bored. Are you listening? When the prophet Nathan, how would you like to have been him? He come to King David and he told him about a rich man that had all kinds of sheep and he had a traveler was coming in. Y'all remember years ago, Sister Lorraine mentions this about every time I see her when I preached on the traveler and I talked about that unknown traveler that comes into someone's life, amen, that it really requires something of you. And that traveler required of this rich king a meal. And so instead of killing one of his many sheep, he got the neighbor's little pet lamb and destroyed that lamb, amen, when he could have had all of that flock, amen. And David got so mad, amen, he said, who is this man? And he's the one that made his own judgment, amen. He said, that man will pay fourfold. And he said the famous words, thou art the man. God, help us never to hear those words. Somebody going to help this preacher? I want you to help me to raise your hand and say, God, by the grace of God, don't ever let those words be said to me. Well, I wish I could preach. I'm a pitiful preacher. And I got a burden to help you. Sin is no game. Scars, once you're scarred. And I don't want to preach, you know, that people backslide can't get back. But I'm going to tell you, not many of them do. And when they do get back, they've got scars and disappointments. They're so disappointed. And they get back in the audience and they're always saying, well, they won't receive me. They won't accept me. They don't treat me like they used to. And they just are haunted. I know people have come back and been back, Brother Bailey, for probably 20 years. But every time I see them, we can't talk hardly no time at all till it goes back to, hey, man, people don't accept me. And I'm not sure they love me. And I don't know why I ever done that. And I'm telling you, it'd be better for you, amen, to quit lying on the couch of leisure and get up and do your own fighting. Amen. Somebody say amen before this tragedy strikes and you've got a scar to live with. the time that kings go forth to battle, David saw a woman. That's a tragedy, isn't it? Let's stand. I know a preacher, and you probably know him too, that he said the Lord had blessed him with bad looks, and he never had no trouble out of women. Huh? And that's humorous. I know it's humorous, but I'll tell you what, the devil don't care what you look like. You hear me? He don't care what you look like. Amen. Oh, I want to preach to somebody here. Amen. I feel sometimes, amen, that our people, amen, are roaming around their rooftop when they ought to be out praying and fasting and reaching and witnessing and praying and going to church and praying in their prayer closet. But they find themselves with too much time and a whole lot of trouble. Right? How many thanks the Lord by having this scripture written like it was, put it in there for our example not to follow? Because he was so explicit about this, about all this that I brought out to you. It's so explicit. It was like God is pointing back to this in the New Testament age, pointing back that these will be for our example. Even a man after God's own heart. I've had people that tell me they love me. And they keep telling me that, and then they leave me. Are you listening? I've heard people say how much they love God and love God and love God, and then one evening in a weak moment, when temptation and opportunity make a rendezvous, amen, they just turn their back on God, spit in his face, and do what they want to. We really can't afford not to go to war and fight for our soul. Oh, that cursed sleep. All right. God bless you. Would you bow your heads with me for a minute? Sister Rachel's going to come, sing, play the piano. And I want to pray for you. Bow your heads and please reverence the presence of the Lord for a moment. Father, we're so weak, pitiful, and frail. If it's not for your keeping power, we'd all be a scandal. We'd all be a byword. We'd all be failures. But we plead for the presence of God tonight. And God, don't let us get in our hearts that we can take a day off, send somebody else to do our work, and that we'll not be tempted. We will be tempted. And God, I ask you to help us stay on the battle line. Help our church to love you and love holiness and love the worship of God and love souls. And be the church that you called. God, help us not just play games with your experience, but let us, Lord, go to battle when it's time to go to battle. And God, help us live right. Help me live right, Lord. Help me be an example to others. We can live a sanctified life. For the only way you will be assured of your presence is if we continue to be a man or woman after your heart. And God, we ask you to bless this altar tonight. And God, I've preached this tragic event in the life of David, your beloved. Simply, Lord, to warn my people, all of us together, that we need to be about our Father's business, lest we find ourselves on the rooftop of temptation and going down the spiral of sin. In Jesus' name, we ask for your effect on this altar. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, and help me pray, will you?